Martin, got some great news.
Please tell.
Not the tickets. We still don't have the tickets for Eurovision.
Oh, that's what I thought the news was going to be.
Yeah, no. Not going to be having that until hopefully the end of the month. But we've got the accommodation sorted.
Wonderful. This is very good news. Please tell me the sort of place that I will be staying in during my time in Rotterdam.
Of course. Well, we'll be on some little exciting bunk beds. I know you like a kind of cabin-esque experience. So I thought, let's go for bunk beds.
I do like a cabin. I didn't realise that would be a running theme through the holiday, but that's fine.
Oh,
and I'm happy about it.
This is what you wanted.
Well, I suppose I did ask for it, didn't I? Welcome to Nulpois. And we start with big news, very big news indeed. We reported not too long ago that the legend that is Jon Ola Sand, the world's most charismatic man, is going to be leaving the Eurovision Song Contest as of this competition. So this is going to be his last, which means that we need a new person to pointlessly sit there and just say things are fine. And someone's been announced.
Indeed, it's Martin Österdahl, I believe is how you pronounce it. He is once again Swedish. Clearly it's some kind of tradition that it must be a Swede to do this role, to be the executive supervisor. But and he too looks quite charismatic.
Yes.
I'll do the air quotes there.
He does. I think he does look a little bit more charismatic, mainly because he's wearing hair gel. That's all I've got to go on there.
Oh. And does that make someone more charismatic?
I think it gives the appearance of charisma, whether charisma's there or not. But I've been reading this guy's sort of life story to date. And he's obviously very, very experienced as a TV executive, and he's worked on Eurovision Song Contest before when they were hosted in Sweden, and he actually worked on the 2010 Royal Wedding, which was Wills and Kate, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. So doing what? What was he doing?
He was to do with the live broadcast of it. He was involved in that somehow, which is quite a good claim to fame, really. Like, what two things have you done in your career? I've done the Eurovision Song Contest and also the marriage of the next king. So I thought that's quite good.
Yeah.
But also, when he's not running TV companies and making live broadcasts of royal events, he writes thriller fiction.
Okay.
Yep. And just to give you a little idea, I'm slightly worried about the future of the Eurovision Song Contest when I've read the titles of some of his books.
Oh, excellent.
Ask No Mercy.
Oh.
10 Swedes Must Die.
Oh, no.
And my favourite, slightly different, it's called Yarn Angler, which in English, I believe, means Iron Angler.
Oh,
so
different theme there. The 10 Swedes must die. Very specific, that one. Why 10?
I don't know.
I decree.
I just think that's just ever so slightly odd, isn't it? And it does make me wonder what the future of the Eurovision Song Contest will look like with Martin Österdahl at the helm.
Well, I'd be quite interested if he does a Eurovision thriller novel after this. Wouldn't that be great? Like a murder at the Eurovision.
That would be great. Wasn't there meant to be a film coming out that Will Ferrell was making all about the Eurovision Song Contest? And apparently he'd been a few times to it and he'd just absolutely loved the Eurovision Song Contest and thought, right, I've got to make a film about this. But that was ages ago and it seems to have just sort of disappeared into the ether.
I think you're right. And I think it might be coming out this year.
Oh, really?
It looks like it's going to come out. Yeah, and it's got Will Ferrell, also Rachel McAdams and Pierce Brosnan.
That is a cast, isn't it? I'm not sure. The only thing that worries me about that is and maybe this is a little bit unfair on Will Ferrell, but like the Americans have never traditionally got Eurovision.
No.
They've not really understood why
we
find it funny. So why all of a sudden are we getting Will Ferrell to do this?
No, I agree. I mean, like, great that he loves it and he wants to bring it to the big screen, but an American is never really going to get the nuance. And it's a weird choice, I think, for an American to do it because the American audience won't know what it is.
No.
It would make much more sense as a kind of, you know, I'd like someone like Martin Madonna, the guy who did In Bruges, to do it. Like a really dark comedy about Eurovision, I think would be really good. Like a more kind of independent film, but like quite dark and quite funny. I think, because this is just going to be over the top, isn't it? As Eurovision is, but like way, way, way over the top.
Yeah, and I think it's going to try and make jokes about the bits that are funny because they're taken really seriously. And I wonder whether that might lose a bit of its charm there. On the other hand, though, what could also happen is that it introduces Americans to the competition and they start watching it. And before you know it, they're in it too.
No. Too far. I do not want Americans taking part in the Eurovision. They'll ruin it, Martin.
Agreed.
Martin, I've got a guest with me here.
Oh, yes, you do. Hello, this is very exciting.
Yes, introducing Lottie.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for inviting me on.
She's only got her first name. We can't divulge anything else about her.
It would be too dangerous.
But Lottie is going to be joining us on our trip to Rotterdam and has joined us in the past.
I think it would be fair to say that I don't bring as much knowledge to the table as you two, but I do bring practical things like accommodation booking.
Yes, although I did book the accommodation this time round.
All right, fair play. I haven't done that much this time round.
You put a lot of research into it, which we ultimately didn't use. But
it's definitely good to know all the places that you're definitely not going to stay
in. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
And I'm very grateful for that research, Lottie. So thank you very much.
Now, to be fair, Lottie is one of the most organised people when it comes to holidays that I think I've ever met. Yeah. And it is genuinely really, really useful to have someone so organised, because you're never at a loose end and you always know what to do. But you might remember, if you're listening to the last episode that we did, that we mentioned Lottie, because Lottie's going to be joining us on the boat. And Lottie and I are really excited about the prospect of a cabin. Ugh. I think it's going to be like something...
I'm genuinely really excited.
Yeah.
It'll be like Mallory Towers or something like that.
It's not. Listen, I told you both of you this. It's just going to be a little room with bunk beds. It's going to be smelly. There won't be a window. It's not exciting. It's not some kind of Titanic experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want the full Titanic.
No, I don't want the full Titanic either, but I think it is going to be exciting.
It is going to be exciting. And what's going to happen is I walk up a gangplank. I should be walking, where the captain will be waiting.
Down a
probably
gangplank.
With some champagne in a little bucket.
Champagne!
He's going to hand it to me. I'm going to have a cane as well, and I'm going to use that cane to promenade upon the deck. You two will be there. We'll probably be linking arms. At one point, one of you will have a moment. You'll be overcome with something and you'll faint by putting the back of your hand to your head and sort of fluttering down to the floor. This is the sort of thing. You'll wear petticoats, probably. This is the sort of thing.
Okay, a Jane Austen book.
That.
Right. Okay.
I do have to say, Martin, that we were discussing this with someone yesterday who has been on this type of ferry trip.
I've been on this type of ferry trip.
And their opinion was very much it's less Titanic, more coach trip, and we need to radically lower our expectations.
Yeah. Look, it'll be fun. We'll have a good time. I mean, apparently, there might be a disco on board. That's what I've heard.
What?
That's what the person who went to... on this trip to Rotterdam on the ferry said there was a bar. I expected a bar, but a disco were his words.
If there's a disco on this boat, that will make my holiday.
Disco boat.
That is hilarious.
My dad has also given us a little tip about some wine buying whilst on the boat.
Oh.
He says that you can get 6 bottles of wine for a very reasonable price, and we could then take them with us for the rest of the trip.
6?
And always be in wine. My dad is very concerned about the ability to purchase alcohol at low prices.
But why would we get 6? 2 each?
He feels it's the optimum number.
Okay. I mean, I'm not drinking 6 bottles of wine in a tiny little cabin room. That's not happening.
Well, you don't have to drink it all on the ferry. You can take it with you.
No.
It's like a case of wine.
And you can drink it at the disco.
I know. Yes, all right. We'll just be on this awful disco floor, just us, nobody else there, because everyone else is in their cabin with 6 bottles of wine. Like, yeah, we're going to the Eurovision.
A bottle in each hand. Party, party on the ocean waves. This is going to be great.
I mean, that is what people expect of British people, so we shouldn't let them down.
That's true. That is true.
Exactly. Lottie, aside from the disco boat with the wine, what are you looking forward to about the Eurovision this year?
Well, I'm interested in going to Rotterdam. I've never been to Rotterdam before, so I think it's going to be quite an unusual venue. I've never been to the Netherlands at all. I'm quite shocked, though, about this news about John Olesands. This is all new to me, and I can't really imagine a Eurovision without his stunning charisma.
Well, do you think, I mean, obviously, because this, he's still got one more to go, do you think in this one there'll be a big tribute to him? I was saying before, in memoriam.
Oh, without a doubt, there's definitely going to be a tribute to him. They are going to absolutely lord it up, and it's going to be so embarrassing because no one else will really know who he is other than that guy who sits there awkwardly and when asked, is everything fine, always replies, yes, it's fine, because it always is fine, because they wouldn't ask him if it was fine, if it wasn't fine.
I'd love it there had been a time where he was like, no, it's not fine at all.
It's an absolute disaster. We've lost some of the votes. It's all going into chaos.
We fucked it up.
Yeah, that would, I mean, maybe you should just do that at the end. Didn't he once do it and like make a little joke?
Yeah.
And that was like peak charisma where he went, no, actually, it is all fine. Yeah. That's not how he speaks. But
he's not got some kind of stroke, Martin. God's sakes.
Do you think they might do a montage?
Oh, that's what I mean.
From every year.
In memoriam of him just being like, yes, it's fine.
I'd like to see that, actually. I would like to see a compilation of every time he said it's fine from 1972 to be fair, he's only been doing it 10 years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So from 2010 till now.
What a decade.
What a time to be alive. So you're looking forward to that. Do you know much about Rotterdam? Because Cress has the tourist attraction that we need to visit while we're there.
Yes, Lottie, we can go and see the butt plug gnome.
Come again?
Yes, well, the butt plug gnome.
I think it will, is... yes.
I mean, I wasn't going to make that joke, to be honest, Martin. I was come on.
That's not seriously a tourist attraction.
The butt plug gnome, Lottie. It's basically, okay, so it's something that looks like a gnome with a butt plug. It's a sculpture, and it kind of went a bit awry, and now people say, well, it just looks like a gnome holding a big butt plug. And we've got pictures of it here, and I think you can agree, Lottie, it does look like that, doesn't it?
I mean, it does. That is undeniable.
If you see that, you would be like, that looks like a big gnome with a beard holding a butt plug in its hand.
I'm just not really sure what the sculptor was trying to achieve.
I think it was supposed to be Santa Claus.
Oh, no, it doesn't look like that at all.
It was an art sculpture that was commissioned, apparently, by the city of Rotterdam, around Christmas time. It was like a festive commissioning. It obviously went a bit awry. It was made by this LA artist, and it was supposed to be of good old Saint Nick, but it went a bit wrong, didn't it? You would not see that and be like, there's Santa.
Something's gone terribly wrong. That's not festive. That's disturbing.
I think it's supposed to be some kind of a tree or something. Yeah, it's supposed to be like he's supposed to be holding a festive bell and a Christmas tree, but it doesn't look like that.
No, it doesn't.
I think that's quite fitting for the Netherlands, though, to have something like that. I think that's...
Why not?
I'm glad that they didn't take it down. I'm glad they were like, we want to keep the butt plug gnome.
And with that... Oh, there goes...
Lottie's gone off to sneeze.
She's gone off to sleep. Well, I was about to sort of thank her for her contribution to Nullpoix, and say that we're looking forward to our time in May having a disco party on the ferry.
Yes, with six bottles of wine. Now, Martin, quite a stir was brought about on Twitter recently with France's entry for the Eurovision.
Yeah, I've heard that there's been a sort of hubbub going on, but as to the actual nature of it, I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I'll explain, Martin. It's because he's very fit, and that's all there is to it. He's an attractive man.
Nothing more to see here other than he's hot.
He's a hottie. His name's Tom Lieb, I'm sure he's a... I mean, I have actually seen a bit of him singing as well, and he's got a very lovely little voice. He is a singer, actor and comedian. He's been selected, as I said, for the Eurovision for France. And basically, when photos of him were released, everyone got quite excited. Oh. He released his album last year. It was called Recollection.
Wow. I have just Googled a picture of him, and my goodness, yeah. I can see what you mean there.
Yeah.
He's got...
You get
small
it.
Eyes, I would say.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair.
Kind of quite squinty eyes, but very strongly defined features. He's got designer stubble. His hair is sort of wavy, carefree, yet perfect in every way. I can see what you see in him.
I'm glad, and many others. It's not just me. But it's interesting that France, for this year, for their song as well, they've gone back to an internal selection. The public haven't selected the artist or the song, and they've approached music publishers to write for them. So again, it seems to be more and more of a thing that's happening, where people are going back to. Apparently, there was over 100 songs they reviewed, this internal committee. So, you know, it looks like they're kind of going back to these ways, quite a lot of countries, because obviously the UK is doing that this year as well.
Who do you think is more attractive?
Oh, here we go.
Tom Leeb or Deke Pothoven?
Oh, I think...
Deke or Leeb, please. Mm.
I think Tom Leeb, but I don't know, Deke... Deke's got a bit more of a wildness about him.
yeah, Deeks can do that.
I think Tom might be a bit, you'd be, you know, I don't know if there's, no, I'm not going to say that about Tom. I was going to say, I don't know how much there is there of Tom, but you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. I think that's a bit harsh. He's a very beautiful man. And I'll be honest, if either of them were to say hello to me, I certainly wouldn't, be upset. I would be very happy. So.
Tom Leeb would have the accent as well, wouldn't
that he? That is actually, you're right. Yeah, that's true. Ooh.
All right, let's bring you back from the brink there, just to tell you a little bit more about some of the other people that have been announced to be representing their country. And we have Django Makrui, who's going to be representing the Netherlands. So that's the home crowd. So he will go straight through to the final, because that's what the host country gets to do alongside the Big Five. North Macedonia, with just its second time being called North Macedonia, it used to be called former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, but then there was that big name change agreement with Greece, and it's now North Macedonia. A chap called Vasil, who's got a very strong beard, but not so much going on the top of his head. He is through for North Macedonia.
And, he is, yeah.
I think that is it when it comes to definite confirmed people going through that we haven't already mentioned on this show.
That's right. We do have now the song that the Blas Cantó is going to be singing for Spain, which is... Now, Martin, how good's your Spanish?
It's non-existent, but try me out anyway.
See if you can guess what this song is called, all right? Here we go. Universo.
I think it might be Universe.
Yes, congratulations.
Blas Cantó, by the way, if you've forgotten who he is, he's Mr. Frosty Tips. Frosty Tips is what we called him.
Oh, Frosty Tip Blas Cantó, yes. And the man who kind of likes to sort of stare into space, sort of thinking, oh, have I left the oven on? Where are my keys? Yeah. That kind of
vacant
thing.
Vacant Frosty Tips. That's who Blas Cantó is. And on that note, I think we should probably end the podcast, shouldn't we? It's been a little bit mad to this time, hasn't it? It's been a little. I don't quite know what we've achieved, but I feel that we did achieve something.
Well, that's always the point of this. As long as we feel. Doesn't have to be detailed, but as long as we've achieved something, that's always good, isn't it?
If you want to say hello, always welcome. We are on Twitter at Point Null, POINTSNUL, at Point Null, or you can email us right now, null.podcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and if it's all right, I'd like to give a couple of quick shout-outs just to some people who spoke to me in between our two podcast episodes. Hello to Anushka, Roger and Andy, who listened and enjoyed. Thank you very much for listening. And also a big shout-out to... I'm doing a bit of cross-promotion here, Martin, but since they have mentioned our podcast...
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, you know, just thought I'd... slut around a little bit and
okay.
I am
okay. Didn't need to put it like that, but sure, go ahead.
Another podcast I'm on, the Adventure Games podcast. It mainly covers sort of point and click adventure games, reviews, previews, all that kind of thing. And they've given us a couple of shout outs. So I just say, if you're into that kind of thing, if your niche hobbies are both Eurovision and the Adventure Game podcast, boy, do I have the two podcasts for you.
Which applies basically to you.
Me. To me.
If you are,
yes,
Laura Cress, then...
And also, I'm on the podcast, so... Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, yes. Hello to all of the people that Cress has just mentioned. It's very nice to have you along, and we will see you next time.
We will indeed.